What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at all the things in there.
These are so good.
So good.
So good.
I just got one little question for you. Will you accept this
role? Oh, what a theme song. It's the most important video and song ever to be made to next to Thriller. Hello! Welcome to Will You Accept This Rose? My name is Art Marine. I'm coming to you from somewhere in Atlanta because they've captured me. And I'm on the phone with my partner in crime, one of my very favorite people, somebody who had the flu and did not do karaoke with me, but has been under a weighted blanket with me, Miss Erin Foley. Erin, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in the car about to pull over.
Oh, my God. Where are you? Are you deep in the desert? Are you in trouble?
I'm calling from an undisclosed location in Burbank, California.
Oh, my God. Things are pretty sexy for the two of us. What are you doing in Burbank, Erin?
I was recording my Sports Without Balls podcast.
Well, when we get to the email portion, somebody said, or the iTunes review, they found our podcast because you mentioned it on your Sports Without Balls podcast.
Oh, my God. The crossover,
Erin. Erin, before we start on this week's episode, how fun was San Francisco?
San Francisco, I thought with all our live shows, that was my favorite live show, for sure.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's hard because I love all of them. I felt like what I liked about it was I felt like it actually really captured. I felt like everybody was, it was very low key. It was a good group. Like, everyone seemed relaxed and like themselves. Nobody seemed nervous. It was really great.
Yeah, I think also, you know, Cops Comedy Club was great.
They were great.
They organized it so well. The guests were like really affable. Like, everything just went so smooth and fun. And, you know, all of us weren't completely hungover like we were in Nashville.
Well, you didn't go out. You speak for yourself. I don't know if you talked to Anna, Padgett, Rob, me, or Heitner. You weren't hungover. You weren't hungover.
I was a hot mess in Nashville. A hot mess.
No, that's true. And so was Padgett. I do want to say, and you know what? You know what's so sad? I felt so flattered just now when you complimented my organizational skills.
You are a team leader. You're our fearless team leader. Like, you got those guests. I guess I hope they appreciate is that you put all of this together, you yourself. I mean, I know Anna and Katie are, you know, there hustling.
No, I organize the whole thing. I do the lineup and everything. I'm organized chaos. Well, for me, I'm such a this side of me that needs a weighted blanket. I like order. So if I have order, then I can go have chaos within it. But I need a very firm structure. I need to know the roadmap before I go off-roading. You know, I need to know what the structure is. I need to time it out. I need to know who's coming on when. So then I can go flash the audience in my sexy pilgrim dress.
Oh, yeah. Well, the order was great. Everything was great. I just felt like it was, like, really sweet and fun, and everyone was on point, and it was awesome.
How about those ladies bringing us those t-shirts? We got to wear them when we're back in studio. But I
fell asleep in mine the other night.
You know, I have mine folded up. I have mine folded, like, in my Marie Kondo, like, spark of joy declutter. Like, I have a nice little brick fold of it, and I'm saving it for when I'm in studio.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. I'm also almost off the highway. I apologize if this is loud. Is it loud?
No, but you know what? I'm eating oatmeal, so it's the least sexy podcast that's ever happened.
I'm literally about to pull over. I couldn't get off the highway quick enough. I just think the audience was, they packed the place. They were so fun. There was, We did the drinking on the glam shaming. Like, everyone, the energy.
It was fun.
Phenomenal start to finish.
We have really good fans. You guys who come, it's like no one's a douche. Everyone's there to play, and it's very appreciated. Well,
and we got all the fun pictures after.
Oh, my God.
It was just so much fun. It's like you do this podcast every week, and you don't know who's listening, and all of a sudden all these people show up, and they're wonderful. And
yeah.
It's super feel.
I always assume no one's going to come to anything, and when people actually show up, it means so much. We have people fly in from Toronto, Vancouver, Texas, North Carolina. I mean, it's like Casey Roonan, our artist, drove up from Southern California. It was awesome. All right, here we go. This week's, you know what's so fun? I also have the entire cast of Insatiable, which is what I'm filming. We're almost done filming the season. It'll be on Netflix this summer. I cannot tell you how much I love this show. And what's so fun about it is I now have the cast watching The Bachelor, and they never watched it before. And it's like, they're all obsessed with young Becca.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. I get, like, there's like a straight married dad, Chris Gorham, who's like the nicest, hottest guy in the world. And he, like, texts me on Bachelor nights. And he goes, so what's the deal? Does this dude just get to bang, like, 35 women? I was like, he gets to tongue kiss. He gets to bang three of them and tongue kiss, like 400 of them.
I guess I just, you know, the kissing. I mean, what are you going to do? It's part of the show. I guess I just, I find it, like, a little bit aggressive this season.
He doesn't ask any. I don't remember a season where there was this much indiscriminate kissing and this blatant a lack of curiosity about actually getting to know any of the women.
Yeah, you're right. That's well said. I guess that's exactly how I'm feeling, and I didn't know how to phrase it. It's too much.
And it's hard because he actually has a very affable personality. If he kissed 25% less and took that 25% and actually asked 25% any question of where are you from? What do you do for a living? Do you have a hot anything? Like any question.
Anything.
That's
the line of questioning I want.
Oh, Kendall is amazing. All right, let's get going. Here we go. We're starting out. They must have just realized early on, like, oh, you know what? Since it's not Peter, we're not going. We'll give him a lot of women, but we're not going to spend on the locations. Because we start from South Tahoe and we go to Florida. Fort Lauderdale is a beautiful place to fall in love. I mean,
I think it's a travel hub. I'm not sure if it's a beautiful place to fall in love.
I feel like it's a place in the 1980s to go get, like, finger banged on spring break. It's a good place to, like, accidentally get knocked up when you're 19 and drink shots out of test tubes.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're like, when someone goes, have you ever been to Fort Lauderdale? And you're like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
I had that one time.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale is a great place to go if you're like a white person looking to get like Bo Derek hair braids and like a skin scalp burn and like wear a fluorescent crop top and go drink it like, you know, Carlos and Charlie's. That's where you're going for Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, and some and there's a fun Gayville. Other than that, you're like, ooh, yeah, I'm not sure if it's the place to fall in love.
No, I don't think anybody's actually ever fallen in love. It's a good place to get crabs, but it's not a place you're going to actually fall in love.
Crabs for dinner or crabs after dinner?
Crabs. Fort
Lauderdale.
Welcome to Fort Lauderdale. You know what? And I'm going to guess that they've been sinkhole adjacent. I know you love a sinkhole.
Oh, yeah. We actually just flew out of Fort Lauderdale for the big gay cruise. And, you know, it's charming adjacent.
Is it?
It's got a little something, it's one of those places where you're there for a couple of days and you're like, okay, I've seen it all. But, they made the most out of it.
I want to apologize for being the grossest podcast host ever. No podcast host should ever eat oatmeal while, but I'm living in this hotel and I've been here since September. It's like, and it's not Eloise at the Plaza. It's like Eloise at like the budget travel lodge, right? So like, and I have to film tonight and I have no food left, but I have like a coffee maker and like, I'm down to like, I figured out I can make oatmeal like with a Keurig. And so I'm like, my blood sugar's low. So I'm so sorry that's what's happening right now. Okay, here we go. So then they're in Fort Lauderdale. The girls are biking, they're running, they're holding hands. It's like, and they have to, then they check into the like the W of Fort Lauderdale, and Ari walks in and goes, oh, wearing his man espadrille, and goes, oh my God, this place is amazing. Is that like the only world? He only knows the word like, wow, amazing. So it's really amazing. Oh.
It's just like the same. It just feels like that's why like I'm really starting to get attached to some of these ladies because he's just like kind of the ultimate wash.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, give me the Kendall, give me the Crystal, give me the Jenna. Like we need some excitement.
Jenna,
all of the ladies.
I'm pretty sure Jenna almost has like like a 1980s, like Falcon Crest, like her dark brows and all the Botox. And like, she almost looks like Morgan Fairchild in some shots.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
Right?
A little bit of Morgan Fairchild. I'd like more screen time for Jenna because she's a real wild card.
She's horny, she's DTF. And she enjoys a glass of wine with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and she's a fun wild card.
I'm enjoying her more and more because she's a little bit of a train wreck, which I love.
Oh, just speaking of train wrecks, my best friend Chris said to me, she goes, how old do you think Crystal really is? I was like, oh, I think she's 29. She goes, Arden, when did you get severe rings around your neck? You didn't have that at 29. And a part of me is like, you think I have severe rings around my neck? Are you saying that Crystal has severe rings around her neck or that I have severe? I know. But if you look at her, so then I was watching, I'm like, oh my God, she's right. Like no 29-year-old. No, I have to say, I do know that I do have some rings around my neck because I've seen it in HD. Like, I know I'm almost like a tree trunk if you cut my neck and you can count the rings, you know? But no 29-year-old has severe rings around the neck except for Crystal. How old do you think Crystal really is?
I think Crystal's 46.
I hope Crystal's 46.
Maybe she's older. Maybe she's, she definitely looks like she's in her 30s. I would never put a 2 in front of her name.
Well, she's awesome. Maybe she got sunned and windburned filming her exercise videos on Venice Beach on her iPhone.
Yeah. I think the lack of SPF and the large scoop of cray-cray make her look older.
Dude. So then Chelsea gets the date, and she says how she feels by turning to the camera and going, I have a one-on-one with Ari, and I'm ecstatic. There's no C in there. She's ecstatic to spend the day with Ari. She's been 5 weeks without seeing her son, and she's excited for Ari to get to know Chelsea, not just Chelsea the mom. It's like, well, you keep talking about being a mom, so if you want people to forget it, maybe stop mentioning it.
Yeah, if you want people to forget it, you don't lead with the mystery child card.
Dude.
And now she's like, oh, I already played that card. Now I've got to be the sexy lady and forget about the child.
God. She, so then they go out and they, my friend Andy Gordon, who I adore, who writes for Modern Family, he obsessively watches The Bachelor too. And he's so funny. And I just get emails from him. And he sent me a one line email that just said, was it Winston Churchill who said, I'm on a dream boat, but I'm also with a dream boat? Dude. I told him I thought it was Nelson Mandela said that. That's what I thought it was, but it could have been Winston Churchill.
Or it could have been Rick Springfield.
I always confuse the three of them so much. I always confuse them. She's on a dream boat. She's with a dream boat. She's ecstatic. They have this date. The girls, what is it? I think because they just keep going to these shitty locations with the girls and the telescopes, the binoculars. They're watching them. Who rides around facing a person, straddling them face forward? Who rides a jet ski like that? Fort Lauderdale, that's who.
Sexy moms do. Sexy moms. That is without a helmet. I mean, that is just dangerous.
Do people wear helmets? Do people wear helmets on jet skis?
Well, I would require one. If I had a same-sex life partner, I'd be like, I'm not losing you on a jet ski. Put this helmet on, and I'd probably immediately be divorced. But
you and Kendall could ride around with your helmets on.
Oh my God, I want to meet Kendall so bad.
Oh, we're gonna. You know she'll come to our podcast. She's the one that we're gonna capture.
My enthusiasm for Dolphin Girl is equaled by my enthusiasm for Kendall.
Will you just take a moment and just tell our fans personally how wonderful Jasmine and Alexis are, and like just backstage.
Backstage, and then cocktails and dinner after. They are so much fun, and it was one of those things where we loved Dolphin Girl the entire time, and Jasmine. I think we went back and forth on. Well, it's just one of these things how they present and edit themselves. You know, I mean, how they are presented and edited. For the TV show, but in real life, rock stars, both of them, they were so accommodating and so lovely and so funny, and they're like best friends. They both moved to LA. Like, they're rock stars. They were such good guests.
And you know, and Jasmine, because I think she came off, you know, she had the choky stuff. She was so sweet in person. And mellow, like very, she, like Alexis didn't get much sleep because she, the poor thing, had a lot of problems getting to us. And so she had to bail after dinner. And Jasmine stayed out with us to the bitter end.
To the bitter end. She was so fun and joking around the whole time. And yeah, they were just like, they were literally the perfect guests.
Yes.
It was amazing.
They were so fun. So Chelsea's on a dream boat. She's with a dream boat. She's grinding him. They do the fucking Titanic thing at the front. And we see Ari has a huge tattoo down his side.
I know. I didn't see that before. Have we ever seen that before?
Oh, my God. The audio, whatever you did, is so much better than it was a second ago.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right.
I took it off speaker.
This is good. This is perfect. Yeah, that tattoo is gigantic. What? I want to know what is it. What's on there?
I think I need to go back in and pause it and like we did with Ben's biblical rib tattoo.
That's a good idea. If somebody can find out or email us at rosepodcast@gmail.com, if anybody has any photos of the tattoo or you can tell us what the tattoo is, we need to know. There's also Sarah Colonna texted me during the show asking, like, on the date with Tia when they're in the Everglades, it looks like Ari shaves his legs.
Yeah, and I should have went back. I forgot to rewind it, but
They look shaved. For sure they look shaved.
They look shaved. And if you notice his face, it's like he has like too much bronzer and like foundation. He has like base face, like from the 80s. Like his body is paler than his face. And he has like a lot of foundation on.
Did you just say base face?
Don't you remember base face?
I don't know what base face is.
Base is like when you, like what they used to call like makeup foundation. Like I'm just going to put on some base. And they would call it base face if you have, like, way too much base on.
Got it.
Email us.
Now I'm going to just call him base face for the whole thing.
Okay, let's call him base face. So base face is that he's got the tattoo. They're doing the Titanic. They're making out. They're straddling. The girls are watching. And then they go on their date. He hasn't asked one question. And she is talking to the camera like, this is it. Like, this is the greatest date of all time. And then they go into the car museum and he says to the camera, now he hasn't asked her anything. She's strong and independent. And I love that in a woman. And she's like, oh, this is like the mom mobile, like the old car. And he goes, oh yeah, little Woody. And that it was just, and then they toast to exploring all of the new and taking chances. And he goes, I love that. Oh,
he's just, first of all, the Titanic and the ride around or the face-to-face jet ski couldn't have been more forced and terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, like, you do a Titanic, like, kill yourself, throw yourself overboard.
Yeah.
And then you walk into, like, everything is about him, right?
Always.
Like, they walk into a date with cars, like old, like, and she was, oh, this is amazing. I was like, 9 out of 10 women don't give a shit about cars.
Yes.
They don't care about cars.
Yes.
It's all about him.
It's always all about him. It's always all about him. And then he goes, I'm curious about you. I just thought she's so mysterious. Every time he says she's so mysterious, she gets like a little lady boner about herself. Like she loves that somehow he's come up with this narrative that she's really mysterious.
Because she created the narrative, because every two words she was like, I'm mysterious, I'm mysterious. And there's just nothing mysterious about a mom that lives in Maine. It's
a mom,
the least mysterious.
A 5'6", 29-year-old model mom / assistant at Keller Williams Real Estate. I don't think so.
I mean, we could literally plan out our days and I don't know anything about her. There's nothing less mysterious.
So then.
But at least she's not a supervillain anymore. She's calmed. She's grown on me and Becca's grown on me.
Me too. So then he goes, I'm curious about your previous relationship. And she says, I was drowning in a life that seemed perfect. Basically, and I love that she's shaming Becca, that Becca's too young for RA. She dated a much older rich dude from the time she was 20, and they were together for 7 years, and then when their baby was 6 months old, he left her and had a baby, and I looked it up. He had a baby with Miss Maine. Oh,
no.
Yeah, it's bad. He had a baby with Miss Maine.
Oh my God, and she was a model?
Yeah.
So he dates a model, marries her.
There's no way she's a model.
And leaves her for Miss Maine.
There's no way she's a model. No way she's a model. Maybe she did like a photo for a boat show. Maybe like, I'm a model. I was in like, you know, Maine today selling a fucking fleece. You know, like, I don't buy that she was a model.
she killed it in like the photo booth at parties.
I need to see if anybody can find any example of her actually modeling, aside from on Instagram, please email it to us at rosepodcast@gmail.com.
I can't think of two people that are less compatible than Chelsea and Ari. Given their lifestyles and what they want. Like, they are literally, they're not even remotely compatible.
Except for he likes to hang out in his cardigans, and she's got a 3-year-old, so that's restrictive.
That's true.
He packed his belongings in trash bags, and she said this, no, I have the least I've ever had. I feel like I have everything because I have this little boy. It's like, I don't buy. I just feel like you're just saying that because, you know, for whatever reason, Ari gets horny for moms.
Although I did find her story to be like cringeworthy. I'm like, oh, God, I felt bad.
I did too. It was actually made her more. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. It was terrible.
No.
But it's like,
I know.
And it's like, that's why you don't marry some old rich dude that molds you into what he wants.
I know. It's what happens when you get married in your 20s. It never ends well.
Particularly if you marry somebody, if you're 20 and they're like 38 and rich, the guy's not even cute. Like, he must be really rich. If he's banging Miss Maine and knocking everybody up, he's got to be loaded.
He's probably loaded.
He's got to be loaded. You know, that Maine money.
all that Algonquin stock. He probably has got, like, silicone balls.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yes, he does. And then they had, like, she had her little lip injections. They had the date, and she goes, "What made today was you. This is irreplaceable. I don't think this moment could be replicated." I'm like, it could actually pretty easily be replicated. You just get a fucking somebody not asking you a question that you think is physically attractive. You get on a jet ski and you go drink next to cars. That's pretty easily replicated.
Yeah, the whole thing is like you go on a dating app, you get a rando that you think you like. He doesn't like you back. You rent a big boat. And you phone it in. That's there you go.
You're talking about my average Thursday. I go on Tinder. I rent a big boat. I don't care where I am. I spend all my rent money on a big boat. I drive around. I grind on a jet ski. I hang out next to cars. That's where I mean, I'm so deep in debt from this.
At night, you get a couple sandwiches. You go to Hertz rent a car. You eat the sandwiches in the middle of the rental car.
Yes, yes.
And you're done.
And then I'm done. I actually do it with Hertz rental employees, so I try not to pay for any of it. So then she says, "Tonight told me it's possible to fall in love." Really? What part of tonight told you that? We don't know anything about Ari except for, I love Lori from the audience saying he's won one race ever.
Oh, my God. Well, every time he talks about racing, he says he's crashing. He's crashed. I don't know if you knew this, but, you know, his father is one of the best race car drivers that ever.
I see. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
He's in the Hall of Fame. He's won, like, maybe 3 or 4 Daytonas. I mean, he's a phenomenal race car driver. And then Ari's like, "I sell real estate," and everything is about him crashing.
it's almost like, I don't know, if you're like Jay-Z's your dad and you want to be a rapper, but you are like no capacity for rhyming.
Yeah.
And like no rhythm, but you're like, but it's my dad. So they kind of let you set up in a studio and like give you a beat, but like you can't even rhyme like high with bye. You know, you just can't, but it's like, well, just let him have it. It's his son.
Yeah. You just keep running around the house like, "What rhymes with friendship?" And they're like, "Hey, how about some real estate?
Here, how about this? Here. I can get you an escrow on a great open floor plan somewhere." So then meanwhile, back at the ranch, we see a letter arrive, and this is before we get to the end of the day, but we see Tia for a moment back at the W with no makeup on, which was fascinating because she's so cute. But looking at her fresh face, I was like, she's so darling. But when she's all made up, like just to see her without the contouring on, I'm like, it's like two different people. She's pretty either way, but I was fascinated to see Tia with no makeup on.
Wait, I must have missed this part. She got a letter?
Well, it was when she found out that she was going to be the one going on another one-on-one date. And they interviewed her, and she had no makeup on back at the hotel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was like a whole other scene. She's naturally pretty,
for sure. She's so cute. But then she puts on the full, like, Instagram, like, YouTube tutorial makeup thing. Like, it's just fascinating. I was like, wow. Like, and she looks good either way, but it's like two different people. Anyway.
And also with that accent, it's like,
I love
it. Just kind of want less makeup.
I know. I love it. They really found Raven too.
They really did.
And you know what? I got to say, Arkansas grows lovely young ladies. The two that we've met, they're lovely. I really like all the Arkansas gals. Okay.
Yeah, they're great.
So then the date's not over. They have to go around the bend into what makes me so uncomfortable, slow dancing along to the amazing Tennille Arts. It's surreal. We went into this gorgeous room and Tennille Arts was playing.
The best is when Chelsea did the voiceover.
Yeah.
And she tried to let that roll off her tongue, but, you know, she did like 56 takes and they're like, we can't do it one more take because she couldn't get that out. Like, they wanted it to sound like Duran Duran.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're sailing to Tennille Arts.
Well, they didn't even put up a graphic. Normally it says like Lanko or whatever. This time they didn't even bother. Like, did she not have it in her rider that it's going to say Tennille Arts on it?
Like, I don't even know. I still don't know how to pronounce it because Chelsea stumbled. Like, it was just like, I was like, Captain and Tennille?
Dude.
Tennille, what? What is
this? I had to actually buy Hulu in this hotel so I could fucking rewind it and be like, what? So then, which I'm going to promptly cancel. I actually would love to see a list of every band that's played on The Bachelor ever. That would be a good trivia question. Like, which one's fake? If you had like 10 names of real, like, remember there was a guy that like, he looked like, and his name was like an accountant for like ABC got to play one of them.
Oh my God. They've all been spectacularly like mundane and awful.
Dude. So then, the singer, Tennille Arts, is singing her hit, You Caught Me in a Moment of Weakness. And then Chelsea goes, "So, it's so true. He held me and he made me feel so safe." She's numerous times had a thing about a guy and his power and feeling safe and taken. She really gets off on like that kind of, I mean, I guess maybe that's how she fell into like being with a much richer, older dude. Like, she just is like, oh, I'm so taken care of in this moment. I'm like, girl, he's making out with everyone.
Oh, it's just, you know, he wants strong and independent. And you're like, no, you don't. First of all, you don't want strong and independent. And quite frankly, I'm not sure if, you know, except for a handful, none of these women are really like putting out strong and independent vibes at all.
It's just Becca the child, really, and Kendall.
And that beautiful black woman that went to Yale. What's her name? She's strong and independent.
So CN and the dark haired Jacqueline at the end, the psychiatrist from New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll go soon.
So then she won't last. So then they go on a group date and it starts with Ari licking a bowling ball. I almost threw up.
Doesn't he sort of look like a young, uglier version of John Travolta?
Oh, yes. How gross.
I was like, I don't know why. I was just like picking up a lot of John Travolta this last episode.
How gross. He actually licked a bowling ball.
Although I have to say the bowling date was one of my, I think the group dates this season
have been fun.
Are some of my all time favorites.
Yeah. Cause they're actually less degrading. Like the part of him, like he is like a sex addict, but he's not an alpha male. So they are sort of group dates for like a dude in a cardigan, like him bowling. It feels vaguely appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, they've been, the group dates have been really fun, and of course the outtakes with the old ladies at the end of bowling were even better than the real thing.
Her fate, the woman's fate, we'll get there. Okay.
Greatest.
So then Jenna does that, like they're clearly getting sloshed, and thank you to whoever, they either tweeted me or Instagrammed me to remind me that last week during the previews, they showed Crystal saying, oh, I've been drinking all day. And then she like pounded like a glass of champagne and that got cut out of the episode. I think the girls were hammered at the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hope, right?
Yeah.
Just based on their behavior, I hope they were. I mean, I've never seen so much screaming.
Oh, my God.
Did you pick this up? Like every time they had a cutaway, like when the women were together and Ari was speaking, like they were on top of each other. It was almost like they weren't standing next to her. They were like almost all holding each other.
Yes.
Like what women stand like that?
No, they all could not look cuter in their jeans. And they're like, it's a really good looking group of gals. They're all so fit. They're like, have their little bowling outfits on. Out comes Morgan Fairchild to do her little dirty bowling. She did her like disgusting, like bowling backwards through the legs. And then And then she did her cheer that was like, you're a 4 and I'm a 10. And then the dummy, Ari, goes, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm like, no, that was not, that was the worst improv I have. I've seen some bad improv. That was the worst. That was not amazing, Ari.
That was the best. Is who's it on the other team goes, what are you talking about? Or like, what does that even mean? Because yeah. Jenna was like so incoherent. She's like, there's a roof. I am a person. You're a 2. God yeah. bless America.
And he was like, that's
like, it was incoherent.
And he was blown away at how much she nailed it. Like, wow. How did you come up with that?
Can we just pause for 1 second? Yeah. Like, is he dumb?
Yeah, he's dumb.
Is he dumb?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm, like, picking up?
Because he's a dummy.
He's sweet. He's affable. Is he dumb?
Yes, he's a rich kid who has been given a career because his dad has a talent. He's a hot, rich dummy who has...
Not hot.
He was hot. Formerly hot. He peaked. Like hot for a year at, like, 30. You know, like... Formerly hot, rich dummy who... He's just a sweet dum-dum who's horny.
Yeah, because, like, there's no... He literally repeats himself.
He's a dummy.
He doesn't ask anything. Like, I kept thinking by the end of this episode, I'm like, why do I just... I cannot stand this dude.
He's dumb.
And I'm like, what is it? Because he's not, like, mean-spirited.
No, he's
not
dumb.
A dick.
He's a dum-dum.
But I'm like, I think he's just a dum-dum.
He's a total dum-dum. He's a total...
All right, good.
He doesn't... You know, and I think... I never think so. I just give people the benefit of the doubt that everybody has some sort of brain in their head. And then I'm like, oh, you're a dummy. So then Crystal leads a prayer group on her side. Oh, hold on. Can you hear those sirens? My apologies.
Yeah.
Okay. That's people knowing that Crystal's about to lead the prayer group. She goes this. Ready? I want to ask Wing and Chucky to be our angels and guide us through this. Until the very end. And somebody goes, who are Wing and Chucky? And she goes, they're my dogs. I can't.
I have to say, I can't get enough of Crystal.
Oh, my God.
For 2 weeks ago, I was like, she needs to go. Then I was like, no, she needs to stay. She needs to stay forever because she's such a good villain. She's so entertaining. She is from another planet.
Yeah.
And I'm... absolutely obsessed. He's like trying to watch a pair of khaki pants, and Crystal is just larger than life. Her voice, she's agitating everyone. Like, I'm obsessed with her.
Well, so then her group wins, and basically, because I think he's so in love with young Becca, he doesn't want to not be with young Becca. So he's like, you know what? Who cares about the game? You guys can all come. And Crystal lost it on the bus. They get back to the W, Fort Lauderdale. He's a liar. She has trusted. Why the fuck do we not? There was no one in the camera crew that had a camera or an audio that they could roll in the bus.
I didn't understand that. I'm like, she has a giant meltdown, but you can't see it. So that's maybe how bad it was.
Well, because she still had a mic pack on because she was trying to get them to get off her mic pack. So they at least had audio. You couldn't fake some kind of like visual of like a van ride and pretend that it was the van ride. Like, you clearly had audio of it. What? How bad was it? I think she's maybe actually, like, really mentally ill.
We were saying the whole time, I don't understand because this show lives and dies for, like, all these dramatic moments. And she obviously, like, lost her mind.
Like,
on
big
the
time. Big time. Yeah. She goes, he's a liar. The other team didn't win. He took back his word. And he said the other team's coming. He didn't consult us. He didn't take us into consideration. I'm looking for a partnership. I'm leaving. My bags are packed. It's like, okay, good. Please leave. Please actually leave.
Maybe she was dropping so many F-bombs. I mean, I don't know what it was. Or maybe you're right. Maybe it was just like too
crazy.
Like too crazy to even put out there. And believe me, she's annoying and she needs to go. But I find her like a really great villain. Like, I think
she's amazing.
Playing the part so well.
Well, because she actually feels like Corinne felt She knew she needed camera time. She knew she could be sexy. There was damage there. This one is actually unstable and actually feels cray cray, like for real.
It's just funny to me that her reaction in the smallest, like Ari's obviously horrified. He doesn't want to keep her, and he's just his body is like his mannerisms. It's like, get me away from
but
her.
But yeah, you know he still wants to fuck her.
Yeah, probably. But the fact that she flipped her shit where you almost can't, I mean, apparently you can't even air the footage.
Yeah.
Over inviting 4 or 5 other women to a group date is about the funniest thing ever.
Dude.
I mean.
I love Kendall gets right in there. She's like, Crystal, that didn't exhibit kindness. And kindness is really important to me. She's so, she's not
aware.
And not scared of confrontation in a way that's, and she's like, she goes, I just felt like he was disrespectful to Team Blue. And then Kendall's like, yes, and I have no issue with that. I do have an issue with the way, I would hire Kendall to be my lawyer. She might eat me at the end.
She keeps and stuffs wild animals on her person at all times. She doesn't give a shit about confrontation. She's like, bring it on. I have a stuffed land shark in my backpack.
She keeps his stuff on her purse.
You think she gives a shit about Crystal opening up her mouth?
Ping Ping.
I've got
Ping
a Ping stuffed marmot in my sock.
And you know what? I think she actually does. Because at first I was like, oh, she's just doing this for TV. She drank like donkey jizz on like Fear Factor. Which is true. But like now I'm like, because she wanted to. Like now that I know her.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So then let's see. So then I flip the page here and she says, so then Ari goes to talk to her. He's like, he shows up with her the date. He's like, Crystal's not here. And then so she says to him, I feel like me and my teammates, we felt passionate and hot and open and deep and raw and vulnerable. I need more. And then he's like, well, if you were downstairs, you would have had more. And then he was like, I'll see you in a few days. And he's like, and that is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked all the adjectives, and we're like, you were bowling. It was a group bowling date. And she, like, spins out like no one picked her up for the prom. You're like, oh, lady.
You know, I know ladies like this in L.A. I've dealt with, like, in my female friendships, I've had a few hotheads where you're like, dude, I'm just trying to meet you at, like, Soup Plantation for, like, some salad. Like, I can't even imagine if I was, like, having sex with you. Like, you're screaming at me, and I'm just trying to go to, like, the Beverly Connection. Like,
I know. You're like,
there's some really crazy, they're, like, looking for. There's, like that sort of that, if it's hysterical, it's historical. It's sort of like, I'm sorry somebody wronged you in, like, 1999, but, like, please don't yell at me on a Tuesday right now. I'm just trying to fucking eat some cheap soup.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
So then Kendall and Ari have some alone time, and she says normally things go too fast for her. She needs to slow it down. She's never had an 8-month relationship, meaning that's long and slow, I guess. And then he goes, you always surprise me, and then they start kissing. Like, he's such a dummy.
Oh, God, he really, you know, it's almost like he practiced with, like, a blow-up doll.
Yeah.
And he just said the same thing, and since the blow-up doll, like, didn't respond, he can't even process like someone responding.
Yeah,
like whatever they say, they could have been like, you know, my entire family died in a wood chipping accident. You'd be like, whoa, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
It doesn't matter.
You know what? I'm glad you brought it up, Aaron. Actually, my entire family did die in a wood chipping accident.
Whoa, that's amazing.
I know, it was amazing. It was truly amazing. So then. He goes with his, clearly, and I'm so glad I picked her for my number one, young Becca. She goes, Hurricane's a brew, and Hurricane Crystal. And part of me was like, oh, Becca.
Becca's killing it.
I like
really
you.
Stepped up the last couple weeks.
And so he has the grossest kiss with her ever. And And he's like, I'm scared that I'm going to fall for you. And she's like, isn't there always risk? And basically, she's never saying to him, I'm not going to break your heart. She knows she's going to break his heart. And she's like, yeah, man, nut up. Get your heart. You're going to get it broken. So just give in.
Yeah, I think her responses for being so young are so on point, you know, completely true. She stands up for herself. She doesn't fall into this, like, whatever you say, Ari. So I've, like, changed my tune on Becca because I do think, you know, she's probably a little obnoxious and she's there for TV time. But at least she speaks to him like a rational, strong woman.
I agree.
I appreciate that.
She does stir the shit with the lady. So she went back down. She's with the other girls and she starts doing an impression of Crystal. When Crystal walks up and she goes, I pray among all of this chaos, may Crystal find all of the peace that she thinks that she has.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah, I'm digging her Crystal impressions. They're not as good as yours.
But oh my God, thank you so much.
There's only one artist.
You know what? She has a much deeper voice than me, too. This one's in my wheelhouse. You've got... So then he goes on the most vaguely offensive date for a young Southern gal. He takes Tia to the Everglades, to the jankiest, poor sweet Gerald is so sweet and proud of his house. But he takes her to the Everglades, gatoring with his, like, it's like, you're from the South. Let's, like, I'm going to take you to a ramshackle shack, like, and, like, frogging. They've got the gator call. The alligator came right up. A turtle swims up, and he goes, there's a turtle. That's crazy. That's what he says. He's so dumb.
He's just so dumb. These conversations, like, are so bad.
He's so dumb.
I was really nervous. I was like, I was trying to think, like, would I get that close to the gator?
No, that's too close. That's stupid. That's so close to a fucking alligator.
They're fast, and they're quick, and they're, like, I'm literally, like, I would take a boat through the Everglades in a heartbeat, but I don't know if I would do it like that.
No.
Like, I think I needed more sides to the boat.
The boat was flat. There was no sides to the boat, and there was a gator. They, like, bumped up against its snout. I didn't feel like the guy had extra special training that was, like, bumping the, like, angering the gator. It was really a bold call.
It was a bold call. They were wearing no seat belts. There wasn't a spear.
No.
I was like, this is a safety issue.
And then they bring him up to the house. And he was, poor Gerald, was so proud. Because, first of all, I want to give that man some SPF. The amount of sun damage on poor sweet Gerald.
I know.
And he was so sweet. And his house was cool, but it had been damaged in a fire. And they brought tear there. And, like, there was just, like, random ladders all over the property, and in the back, when they bring them around back to eat fried frog legs, there was like if you noticed, there was like a mountain of like discarded lawn furniture behind him that was like 10 feet tall in the background in one of the shots. And like, but we found out that Tia goes frogging in Arkansas, which, and she said,
you're right, though, it was like the southernmost, you know, date you could possibly go on. And she doesn't even live in like country anymore. She lives in the city. And she's like, shit, I gotta do this again.
And I know, it was like, it was kind of offensive if you were from like a small town, like, you're a hick. Here you go. Here's some frog legs. Here's a falling down shack. This be like home. Like,
yeah, also it's like, you know, like we're both from, well, New York, but we're now, you know, I kind of grew up in New England. It would just be like, here's some chowder.
Yeah.
You know, do you want, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like, okay, I get it. Yeah. So on the nose. But I looked up how old Gerald was, and he's only 35.
Wear your sunscreen, kids.
Wear your sunscreen, kids.
The most personality I have ever seen all season was on the backswing when he goes, so tell me about frogging. That was legitimately the first honest. Like, that was the first time I saw anything resembling an honest question from him.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, it's like, we have, you know, we're pretty deep into the season.
Yeah.
And we have no idea, like, what his interest, like, what he's interested in. Like,
nothing.
Who he, like, it's just like he's nothing. Such a blank. I don't even, it's so hard to tell what he even wants. It's like a man that, like, doesn't even know who he is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And then he lit up when he saw the boat. He goes, as a car guy, that thing has a huge engine on it. She's like, I got to tell you, I've hung out with you. I don't see you as a car guy. And he goes, when the helmet comes on, I'm a different person. It's like, oh, you're less dumb? Oh. Like, what are you?
Oh, my God.
I just drive yeah. into things and crash.
He's like, yeah, when the helmet comes on, I got two things going for me. One, I make it around four times in a crash. And another thing is someone speaks to me in the helmet so I know what to say.
Dude. it's my helmet talker.
What's his name? Duval from Days of Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
That's who speaks to him.
So then we have, they are looking into each other's eyes, and she's like, I have butterflies with him. I can't even look into his eyes. And, like, you could see, and then she was very sweet. She put her head on his chest, and you could see he didn't know what to do because her mouth wasn't available to get, like, tongue violated. You could see he was like, okay, but when does your mouth come back up so I can stick my tongue in it and I can grip your hair down near your titties? Like, I have to pretend to be interested in cuddling, but when do I get to do my Ari thing with the tongue? I crash cars, let me tongue you.
At one point, he was like, do I make out with her bangs? Oh, God. This is unknown territory.
He did not.
So
then they go have dinner in, like, a barn, and she says she was in college for 7 years, and she got her doctorate, and she's a physical therapist, and she has older patients who basically are calling her an old maid, and then she asked about her higher power, and he's like, it's not really my thing, and she's like, well, faith is important to me. I lost friends, and then he was like, could you be married to someone who doesn't have faith? And she was like, I guess so, for TV, maybe.
It was, I actually thought that moment was really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I respect both of them.
Me too.
That, you know, and he's like, no, didn't grow up with it. It's not my thing. And it's very important to her. And I thought, you can say that's not important.
That's what I thought too.
Get through it, but I was like, no way, right? There's no way.
I thought that too.
And also just, with all that education, I mean, a master's.
She's a doctorate. Right? She said she's a doctorate. Yeah, she's a doctor.
So that is an extremely hard degree in physical therapy. I mean, you're literally taking, like, you know, MD science classes.
Yeah.
So that made her, like, I love this.
Me too.
Like,
me too. I love her. I got to tell you, she's my favorite, I think. I really fell for her on this date.
She was great, and I just don't want her to be like, oh, I'll move to Scottsdale, I'll do anything for you. I'm like, first of all, you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
You're going to be like in an atheist tribe of, you know, old white money Scottsdale.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If faith is super important to you and he doesn't believe in God, that might at some point be hard.
Also, she doesn't have a flexible schedule. She's not going to, like, go around and do whatever he wants.
No,
like, no way.
Well, it's hard when you've got all those real estate closings. So then he asked what her type was, and she was like, it's not good. Guys that I can fix, they don't have it all together. And then she says to him, I think I'm falling in love with you. Here's the lesson part of our podcast. Anybody out there listening, I used to date fixer-uppers. There are no fixer-uppers. If you don't like them as is when you meet them, you can't date potential. I learned it the hard way, guys. You got to like them as is who they are now. There are no fixer-uppers. That's just my own personal opinion.
No, that is the correct opinion. We've all been there. I'm like,
oh, my God.
Just stop drinking.
Yeah, it's usually that. Or like cheerleading. Like, I'm his number one, you know, I got to the point where I was like, I don't ever want to date an aspiring anything. Like,
no.
I don't want headshots secretly in the drawer. Like, there's nothing, whatever you want to do. I hope you're doing what you want to do. But if you're like, I'm doing this, but I secretly want to be doing that, I can't cheerlead or.
No.
Okay. So then they get to the cocktail, the party. And they're at the Bonnet House. Is that correct? And
it was called the Bonnet House?
I think it was the Bonnet House. And Crystal goes, yesterday, I wasn't hiding in my room. I was investing in myself. Side note, we'll hold a pin in that. At the end of their date, Tia already pushed her up against the wall, and she said, I've been waiting for you to push me up against something. And he got the world's oldest boner.
His boner was like, oh, God, she's going to wake up. Hold on one second.
Yeah, he loved it.
I'm going to push you into something.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
sorry to jump in.
I wasn't hiding in my room. I wasn't hiding in my room. I was investing in myself.
I thought I paused it, and my sister and I were laughing so hard that it took me maybe 15 minutes to hit play again. I thought that was one of the greatest TV moments in the history of TV. I loved everything about that sentence, and I want to use it again and again.
Me too, because I'm often hiding in my room, and I'm going to tell people I wasn't hiding in my room. I was investing in myself.
I need her. I need more of these. How can you justifying that you're investing? Like, I was like, that is seriously, that's like Freud.
Oh my God. It was incredible. So then Kendall pulls him aside and she was like, I've got a question book. This is the most real moment that's ever happened on this show.
Yeah.
She goes, I've got 100 questions. Ask what number? He's like, 99, my race number. I crashed that 99 times.
Oh.
Number 99 is, would you ever try human meat?
I wrote it down. Let me give you the exact quote. If you were visiting a tribe whose tradition was to eat someone who's passed away, would you try human meat?
Yeah. And she says, I would totally try it. I wouldn't eat you. Would you try it? Oh, my God.
And his face. I sent everybody the screenshot of his face on our text exchange.
It was amazing.
It was such a drawn-out question. Like, it could have been like, what are your thoughts on cannibalism? But it was such a specific, like, tribe, the tradition of the tribe, eating members that have passed away. It was a layered cannibalism question.
I actually paused now that I bought Hulu for one night, and I took a screen grab of her book to see the other questions. Here's another question. What is good about death and why?
Wait, you saw that on her book?
It was written in the book. What is good about death and why? She's going to fucking kill someone.
I don't know where they found her, but she lives in L.A.
Fear Factor.
It's going to make it my mission to be friends with her.
She might kill you. She might kill. She might kill and eat you, but you'll have fun until then.
Right up to the point where I know she's going to kill and eat me would be amazing.
Yeah, it's so good. So then Crystal comes down and Kendall goes up to him and she's the protector. Oh, he goes, thanks for being my protector. And so then Becca and Tia, they all basically confront her and they're like, so you changed your mind. She was like, and again, I was so mad we didn't see her in the van. And she goes, I was hurt and I was entitled to that. And Kendall goes, well, your reaction upset everyone here. Or that might have been CN. And then Becca goes, why are you still here? And basically they all attacked her. Eventually she goes, glitter. That's a glitter bomb. Like nobody, she protected herself with her glitter bomb.
I think for Crystal to say something like the glitter bomb and the, like, I wasn't hiding my room, I was investing in myself. The level of narcissism and the level of just like completely cut off from reality.
Yeah.
Like it's scary, right? It's scary. But some of these sound bites are just some of my all time, like glitter. Dude. That's glitter. Like who the fuck?
I know. She goes, I'm done. Done. That was glitter. It was amazing. So after he talks to Jacqueline, the psychologist, who's never going to last. So then Ari and Crystal go, and then he was like, you need to be thoughtful and think through your reactions. She was like, my responses were out of character. I had a hard childhood. I grew up in a bowling alley. It's like, emotions from my childhood. I grew up in, it's like, first of all, no, you didn't. I just know you didn't. And so it was like, this is another traumatic experience. Like, is this another fucking, oh, I'm sorry. You
don't. Oh, my God.
Why did we not see a child in a bowling alley with men coming and going and never coming back?
I know. They missed a real spot for some sweet editing of just a crying over, a little girl crying and like being hit by a bowling ball and then falling over.
And then she goes, this is our first fight. And he goes, it could be our last fight. He basically was like, for shame, young lady, I will fuck you, but you're in the penalty fuck box right now.
Oh, yeah. He's so, I don't think he wants to fuck her anymore. I think he's, I think he's just like, I'm so over it. Like, but how about that clip, that commercial clip? Because I was like, oh, Crystal's going home.
I know. They blew it. I know. They blew it. It's like.
They blew it. Before, I was like, what the fuck?
There's fucking ding-dongs. Before the rose ceremony, they're like, Crystal's in Paris. It's like, well, you couldn't air this at 10:05. You got to air it at 8:40, like 9:45. Like.
It just was like they're doing that more and more.
I know.
And you're
it's
like,
so
why?
Dumb. I know.
Why? You're literally taking the suspense out of the rose ceremony.
It's terrible. So then she says this. I showed him fun. Passionate, sad, emotional. I showed him so many shades of me. Excited, futuristic.
Futuristic.
Oh, my God. And then she goes, destiny, the thing for next week, she goes, destiny's going to happen tonight. Baby, I'm wife material. And then the old ladies going, do you hold your ball properly? And what do you think of the fantasy suite? And their tongue and they're all into the fantasy suite was amazing.
Oh, my God. I want to, like, you want to hang out with those ladies immediately. Like, they have lived a life.
Yeah.
And they are just happy.
They were amazing.
She's horny, and she wanted to put her face near his balls.
She was fucking great.
Amazing.
Erin, before we wrap up, will you help me do Tweet of the Week? I have them, and I'm going to read them to you.
Okay.
The first one is from, and there's none from Seth Vatt this week. Seth Vatt, where are you?
Yes.
Seth. Please don't stop tweeting us. We miss
don't
you.
Stop tweeting.
We wait for you, Seth Vatt. So this is from Enid Alasinid, and I'm sorry for pronouncing anybody's name wrong. And there's a photo of Ari licking the bowling ball, and it says, $50 says that bowling ball makes it to fantasy suites. This is from Rachel Wheeler. Lauren B., how do you like your eggs? Ari, young and fertile.
That is fantastic.
That made me laugh. This is from Cheyenne Constant at Trixie Firecracker. How could they not get Crystal's bus meltdown? Producers, you literally have one job, .. One job.
Yes, yes. I agree completely.
This is from Lauren at Purple_Haze. All of this Crystal drama is overshadowing the fact that The Bachelor is okay with cannibalism.
Good one.
And finally, he's one in the past, stand-up philosopher at 912 Jimmy. Since when did, quote, growing up in, okay. Since when did, quote, growing up going to the bowling alley mean anything other than fucking awesome? All right, I'm going to nominate these two. All of this Crystal drama is overshadowing the fact that The Bachelor is okay with cannibalism by at Purple yep. Haze. And from Rachel Wheeler, Lauren B., how do you like your eggs? Ari, young and fertile. Is it young and fertile or cannibalism?
Well, for me, I appreciate both, but it's young and fertile. It's young and fertile.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go with cannibalism, but I'm going to let you take it because it's never my – I pick them out, so I'm going to let you win. Rachel Wheeler, you won. Lauren B., how do you like your eggs? Ari, young and fertile. Oh, my God. And before we go, I also just want to read – let's see. Hold on. We got some really great – we got some really great comments on our if you like us on iTunes. This one, it might have gotten cut off. I tried to do this on the Sarah Colonna one, but it got cut off. This made me laugh so hard. If you remember, we got called too much politics that I sound like the host sounds like a hyena getting dunked in hot lava. So here was one. 5 stars from Noelle LaRose, one of the best political hyena in lava podcasts out there.
Nice, nice. I love it.
One of the best. And then we have Five stars, my oasis on Grief Island. Unfortunately, I've been on Grief Island. What a way to start 2018. I'm sorry, my love, but this podcast has been my oasis every week. I've been listening since day one, and funny enough, that was my first season of watching The Bachelor as well. I don't know how you just watch this show without the relief of this podcast. Never stop. And Arden, I'm a fan of the dentist x-ray blanket too. Well, I hope, Wing Cupid, that your year is getting better. And my apologies for your time on Grief Island. And we got a great email to rosepodcast@gmail.com. And this one is, okay, this is from Lauren Nickerson. And she says, hi, Arden. I email you way too often, feel like a crazy fangirl. My apologies. So here we go. I tell everyone I know to subscribe and listen, even those who ridicule me for my long enduring love of the Bachelor franchise. One such friend finally got on board and is now a loyal Will You Accept This Rose listener. She's been my friend since high school, but now we live on opposite sides of the country and years go by without seeing each other. Introducing her to your podcast has refortified our friendship, and we convene weekly via text to discuss all your astute observations. Her birthday was yesterday, and I know she would absolutely faint if you could wish her a happy birthday. Her name is Stephanie, but we call her Frost. So here you go from Arden and Aaron, Miss Frosh. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Frosh Stephanie. You guys, the podcast wouldn't be the podcast without you. What a joy. Aaron.
I was so impressed by the crowd and everybody came out, and it's just fun that we get to do something we love and share with everybody else.
Well, and guys, we're going to be in Austin at Moon Tower Comedy Festival the weekend of April 20th. We don't have the exact date yet. I don't think the tickets are up yet, but you can plan your Airbnb or whatever. Austin itself is just also so fun. Like, it's a great
festival. So fun.
The
yeah.
festival's so fun. I'll also be doing my Tinkle Twins stand-up show with Dana Gould, and we will be requesting Miss Erin Foley. So if you also want to see us do stand-up, you'll be able to see Erin and I do stand-up at Tinkle Twins. So you can come for two shows for the weekend, and then there's lots of other great people there. But that is – and Padgett is threatening to come. I don't know if she actually will.
I think we can get her.
I do too.
I hope.
Erin, do you have any other gigs coming up that you want to promote?
I just wanted to promote one show. If you're in Los Angeles or adjacent, Wednesday, February 21st at 7:30, I'm doing like a 45-minute show, a long show at the Improv Lab, at the Improv Hollywood Improv Lab, 7:30, Wednesday, February 21st.
In my opinion, the way I got to know Erin is through stand-up, and she is one of the best working stand-ups that like are out there today. She is such a pro. She makes me laugh so hard. You will not be sad. Like, she's fucking brilliant.
Thank you. So many new knock-knock jokes. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to play us out. Will you help sing along?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, Erin. What a joy. I can't wait to see you in person again next week.
I see you so soon.
We'll be back at our regular
with the show in Atlanta.
Oh, my God. Thanks.
All up in here.
This is so good. This is so good. What's that question? I accept. Eric?
I'm
going to be hiding in my room and probably blowing all my investments on myself. Oh. Oh my God, bye!
Bye!
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.